In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My grandfather, Papa Jack, was a farmer in South Georgia. And I was a suburban kid from North Florida, and I loved spending time with my grandparents. My biggest discovery in all of those years with Papa Jack is that pig pens really stink. I mean, there is stink. And then there is pig pen stink. It wilts your hair and punches your gut. It melts your fingernails. And there's no defense. Like the Borg from Star Trek, resistance is futile when it comes to pig pens. Its smell becomes your smell. Visit a pig pen in the morning and then go shopping at night, and people will know exactly where you have been. In such a place this morning, we find the prodigal son. And it wasn't supposed to be this way. He's the son of a fantastically wealthy man. He has every blessing and every advantage. He has money, he has connections, he's smart. But all of this, all of it is wasted. He wakes up one morning and realizes the great distance between the person he used to be and the person that he is now. He used to be surrounded by friends. He now lives in a pig pen and is surrounded by swine. He used to wear the finest clothes and the most expensive shoes. But now his shoulders are naked and his feet are bare, and they wear nothing but layers of mud and pig slime. Once rich, he is now so hungry, Scripture says, in a manner of speaking, he drools over pig food. He once had servants who would bring him whatever he wanted. Now even to just eat, he has to steal from the animals. But it's easy to steal from the swine now. He smells just like them. When the pigs are asleep, he crawls among them and picks up the bits they leave behind. To the pigs, he is just another member of the miserable herd. And he can't escape. Even if he had the money for a bed at the local inn or to buy a decent meal there, it wouldn't matter. He can shower, he can shop, and he can change his clothes, but still that smell will be with him. He can't hide his pig pen life. He can fool your eye, but he cannot fool your nose. And so doors will always close when he draws near. People will step aside or cross the road when he's coming along. But as bad as the prodigal son smells, as nasty to the nose as he might be, there is someone in the parable who smells even worse. There are two brothers in the Lord's story this morning. The younger brother who leaves and wastes his fortune, and the older brother who stays and works the father's fields. And although the prodigal son now has a physical body that might stink to high heaven, the older brother has a soul that smells far worse. Human beings have to hold their noses when the prodigal walks by, but around the older brother, it's the angels who cannot breathe. The younger brother seeks forgiveness, and the father is there to freely give it. The father is there to welcome back the exiled one, to cover him once again with the robes of sonship and the shoes of freedom. The younger brother finds forgiveness, but the older brother refuses to rejoice. He chooses instead to resent. To the older brother, all that matters is what you deserve. And to him, the prodigal deserves the misery that he has chosen. He doesn't deserve the father's love. He doesn't deserve that ring on his finger. He doesn't deserve the feast in his honor. And in that moment, we see that one son has been found, but also that one son remains lost. The prodigal is now home, but the older one is still 1,000 miles away. He lives in his father's house physically, yes, but he chooses to stand apart and to protest his father's love for the one he calls this son of yours. The older son lives in a spiritual pig pen. He sees the world in terms of what I deserve and what you do not. He believes in spiritual segregation. When it comes to the father's house, the older son wants to see people like himself. People who deserve to be there. People like his younger brother are not welcome. In the end, the father receives the prodigal son and removes the stench. The father's love overwhelms the wounds and restores the former beauty of his long-lost son. But the father can do nothing for the older son. His soul still stinks. The older son is happy to wallow in the swine slobber of judgment and competition. He still rolls in the slop of gossip and egotism. Resentment still smears his spirit. His joylessness is toxic even to those angels. And this morning we find ourselves in the Father's house. And either we are like the prodigal son, either we now seek the Father's love, that love that we once rejected long ago, or we are like the older son. And we see the church as an entitlement, something that belongs to me and to those like me. Brothers and sisters, we are all, each and every one of us, we are all lost. We are all in exile. 100 times a day by my thoughts and my actions, I leave the Father's house. And I live and choose to live in a faraway country. But these doors in this church, they are always open. The Father never stops waiting for me, and he never stops looking for you either. Your shoulders may be naked. Your feet may be bare. The riches and the rings long gone. But the Father stands ready. And there's a new robe in his hand. The Father is ready to run and to greet you before you can even be barely seen by him approaching the church. Christ is ready to greet you before you even notice the icons at church or even in your home. As you walk past the Bible in your home, you can hear the Holy Spirit calling out and asking if you are safe, hoping that you'll come home. We are all lost, but the big question is whether we know this anymore. Are we like the prodigal who is finally heading home? Or am I the older son, content to stand apart and to insist that the father has it all wrong, that I am the cosmic judge and jury? On the icon above me, the very center of our iconostasis, who's on the dread judgment seat? Not you and not me. The Lord is there, merciful and compassionate, gentle and meek, the good shepherd who seeks lost sheep, the shepherd who chooses to die for his sheep when the wolf attacks. Great Lent begins in 2 weeks, and repentance will be our focus. In our personal lives, each of us has much to consider. We each have our personal struggles. But together as a family, we can work on 2 things. Number 1, come to church often. This is the Father's house, and here the Father waits to greet you. 2, when you enter the church, don't bring the pig pen with you. Don't do it. Offer your soul as a sweet sacrifice to God. Accept his love and rejoice when others do as well. The angels don't care if your hair is messy or your shoes have holes. Just don't make the angels hold their nose by bringing a soul that is full of contempt and envy. For me, I will work to be like my Papa Jack. My grandfather worked with pigs, as I said, his hands and feet and clothes and gloves all caked with pig pen jelly, all wriggly and warm and wicked. But the funny thing is, I never, ever remember Papa Jack smelling like a pig pen. When he left the pig pen, the smell didn't follow. And his body didn't smell, quite simply, because his soul was so sweet. He knew pain and struggle, but he always had a prayer on his lips. He'd drive from one end of Mitchell County to another singing church hymns, over the roar of his pickup. "Here comes Brother Jack," they'd say. And all those farmers and field hands would also, in that moment at least, remember the house of the Father. They would remember to go to church and to receive the gospel. They would bring their tired bodies and their old clothes to a tiny church, knowing that Brother Jack would offer them a hand and show them a special seat. Brothers and sisters, during Lent, be a bringer and not a pusher. Amen.